Last week, what did we do? I think we looked at Yechezkel, correct?
Yes.
Yechezkel Lamed Aleph. There are three more pieces of this that I wanted to look at. Hopefully we'll get through two of them today. And that is another famous nevuah related to the attitude of the Nevi'im to Malchut Yisrael. And that is in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu. So we're going to look at two nevuot today in Nevi'im Achronim. This is really our first serious segue from Nevi'im Rishonim into Nevi'im Achronim. Nevi'im Achronim is a very different world because there you have to literally analyze every line, every word, the complexity of the language. These are nevuot, these were speeches, these were, we're out of the realm of the stories and into the realm of the nevuot themselves, of the Nevi'im and what they reflected, what the message they were trying to convey was. We're also jumping into a different time period because Yeshayahu is 300 years later. So Yeshayahu himself, just to give a bit of a context, if you look at the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, Yeshayahu Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz Asher Chaza al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim b'Yemei Uziyahu Yotam Achaz Chizkiyahu Malchei Yehuda. Yeshayahu, words of Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshayahu over Yehuda and Yerushalayim during the days or the reigns of the kings Uziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, of course, is the time of the exile of the northern kingdom of Israel, about 100 years before the destruction of the temple and the end of Malchut Yisrael or Malchut Yehuda. Uziyahu is the early part of Yeshayahu's reign. Who these kings are not our issue for now, but it gives you a sense that this is into a different time frame. The heart, I would say, of the period of the kings, sort of beginning of the beginning of the downturn, the beginning of the end. Actually, I meant to bring it, I didn't. Another time I'll share with you, I have a chart of all the kings and the ups and downs of the kingdom of Israel, which is useful to have. So we're going to jump to Perek Bet. Perek Aleph is an introduction, we're going to jump to Perek Bet. Probably, at least part of this, is probably the most famous nevuah in Tanakh. At least part of it. The problem is that we never get past the beginning of it, so we have to see it in context. So to learn or to understand Nevuot and Nevi'im Achronim, what we're going to do is literally go through it line by line, phrase by phrase, to try to kind of put the pieces together as to what the message Yeshayahu is trying to convey. Hadavar asher chaza, everybody have it? Hadavar asher chaza Yeshayahu ben Amoz al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. The message, the word, the nevuah that Yeshayahu expressed for Yehuda and Yerushalayim starts v'haya b'acharit hayamim. Nachon yiyah har bet Hashem b'rosh haharim. V'nisa migvaot v'naru alav kol hagoyim. V'ya b'achrit hayamim means, here we have to be careful.
Came to pass at the end of days.
End of days, right. End of days. That's a good translation, except that it's probably not correct. B'achrit hayamim is most often translated as the end of days, which would make this a kind of a far off, the end of history type of thing. From a pshat point of view, that's not what the phrase means. And it's a misleading mistake, because what it does is it takes all of these nevuot that are designed to be nevuot about the future, and it turns them into nevuot in the very far off, unreachable future. But the phrase acharit hayamim literally means the future time, sometime in the future. If you We've talked about this before, the perspective on time that the Nevi, that biblical Hebrew has. V'haya b'achrit hayamim is the opposite of v'haya lefanim b'Yisrael. What does v'haya lefanim b'Yisrael mean? By Megillat Rut, when it says that they performed chalitza, or that Ploni Almoni performs chalitza with Rut, it says this was the practice in the past in Israel. Vayalef hanim beYisrael shalef ish na'aloh. This was how chalitza was done in the past. You would take off the shoe, etc. Vayalef hanim beYisrael.
Panim beYisrael means in the past. Okay, so if lefanim beYisrael means in the past, acharit hayamim means
in the future.
Okay, lifnei is the opposite of
acharit. So the
right. So this, if this is in the past, this is in the
future.
I don't have to run to end of days. I simply need to look at it and from the perspective of future. This is a very interesting issue. For example, by Yaakov Avinu, by the brachot that Yaakov gives to his children, Yaakov says to his children, I will tell you what will be b'acharit hayamim. To which Rashi, who, like many of the Mefarshim, translated Acharit Hayamim as the end of days, says, well, wait a second, there's nothing in the Nevuot to talk about Mashiach, therefore Yaakov must have wanted to tell them what's going to be Acharit Hayamim, but he ended up not. That's the famous Rashi about the end was revealed to him and then closed off to him. Whereas, if you translate Acharit Hayamim as in the future, then Yaakov's bracha is gathered around, and I'll tell you what your future holds for you, which is very true, very reflective of what Yaakov's brachas were about. So Acharit Hayamim is an important phrase, but it also reflects a certain philosophical perspective of the Nevi'im on time. Because the word lifnei literally means in front of you, right? By a panim, right? That which is in your front of your face, lifanim. The word achor means that which is
behind
you. Now, in English, it's the exact opposite. In English, your past is behind you, and your future lies in front of you. But in biblical terms, that which is in front of you is that which you can see. That which is behind you is that which you cannot see. And in terms of time, we can only see the past. We cannot see the future. Therefore, we walk through time backwards.
No wonder we're so messed up.
Okay? Literally, we walk through time backwards. We look at the past, because we can see the past. We can't see the future. And so the Nevi'im speak about lefanim beYisrael, that which is in front of you, meaning your past, and achor, that which is behind you, as your future. Hence, v'haya b'acharit hayamim means the future days. What will be in this future, says the Navi. Here's the picture of what the future is going to look like. Nachon yiyeh har beit Hashem b'rosh ha'harim. The har, the mountain of the temple of God, will sit b'rosh ha'harim. B'rosh ha'harim means?
The highest mountain?
At the top of mountains. The high mountains, top mountain. There's a whole discussion as to whether or not there's a kind of topographical shift in Yerushalayim in the time of the future, either by earthquake or just by virtue of the fact that Yerushalayim gets built up. Today, Yerushalayim, because everywhere else around Har HaBayit has been destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed and rebuilt, so the city of Yerushalayim is essentially layer upon layer upon layer and has risen over time, whereas Har HaBayit has not. So, whereas in the time of Tanakh, you went up to Har HaBayit, and anywhere in Yerushalayim, you looked up, Yerushalayim was the highest point in the city, or Har HaBayit was the highest point of the city. Today, you actually go down to the old city, which is ironic, but that's... Har Beit Hashem b'rosh ha'arim, the Har of Beit Hashem will be established at the top of the mountain, v'nisam mikvaot, elevated above the hills, v'naru alav kol agoyim. To this temple will flow like a river flows, Nahar, will flow all of the nations. V'alchu amim rabim, many nations will come. V'yomru, l'chu v'nale al har Hashem al beit elokei Yaakov, let us go up to the mountain of God, to the house of the God of Yaakov. V'yoreinu midrachav, he will
teach
us from his ways, hora'a, from the word Torah. V'nelcha b'orchotav, we'll walk in his paths. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. In Tanakh, Tzion and Yerushalayim are synonymous with each other. Tzion is another name for Yerushalayim. So, like all biblical nevuah, the Nevi'im spoke in poetic couplets, double phrases that are essentially synonymous with each other. So you'll see this constant double phraseology that's classic to nevuah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. V'shafat ben agoyim v'ochiach lamim rabim. He will judge between the nations, bring admonition to many peoples. V'chitetu charvotam le'itim v'chanitotehem le'mazmerot. They will beat their swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Lo yisagoy agoy cherev v'lo yimodu od milchama. Will not know. No nation shall lift up sword against nation, neither shall they know or learn war anymore. It's a beautiful image of what? What's the Navi describing?
Redemption of the world.
Redemption is a broad term, but specifically describing a time when the nations of the world will do what? They'll come to Yerushalayim. They'll see Yerushalayim as a center of
spiritual life,
wow. Instruction, direction, wow. Moral conscience. They will get their direction from the message that comes from Yerushalayim, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. And is part of that message, what is the substance of that message?
Not war and war anymore.
Right? That they have to put down their weapons of war. And they will put down their weapons of war. They'll turn that weapons which were used for war into tools of peace. That's the imagery of Chitetu Charvotam Le'itim. They'll turn weapons of war into tools of peace. V'lo yomadu od mochama. No longer will war be the language of humankind. It's a beautiful imagery. But this beautiful imagery comes with a process. And part of the process, and this is where it comes back to our discussion and why it's relevant to our discussion about the attitude of the Nevi'im towards Malchus, the Nevuah continues. Beit Yaakov, l'chu v'nelcha b'or Hashem. House of Yaakov, come, let us walk in the light of God. That was the message to the nations of the world. Now the Navi turns his attention a little bit to Israel itself and says, Beit Yaakov, l'chu v'nelcha b'or Hashem. I shared with you before the irony of this phrase. What famous socialist youth movement, Aliyah youth movement, was built around this phrase? Nope. Bilu. Bilu is Roshei Tevot for Beit Yaakov, l'chu v'nelcha. The only problem is they left out the last two words. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Not the first nor the last time that is a phenomenon. Most famous in more recent times was the movement for Soviet Jewry. What was the catchphrase of the movement for Soviet Jewry?
Never again.
No. Catchphrase for Soviet Jewry?
Let my people go.
Shalach atami.
Right.
Except that we're reading the parashiyot now. Shmos of Eira. The phrase is Shalach atami v'yavduni. Okay. That is the way of the world. We take phrases out of context. But okay. Beit Yaakov l'chu v'nelcha b'or Hashem. Ki natashta amcha beit Yaakov. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Yaakov. This is a reference to God. kimal'u mikedem v'onanim kaplishtim, for they replenished from the east the soothsayers like the plishtim, uv'yaldei nochuim yaspiku, and they pleased themselves with the children of strangers. This is a description of the sins of Israel that led to their destruction. V'timalei arzot kesef v'zahav, the land was filled with gold and silver, ve'en ketzel otzrotav, with no end to their treasures. Batimalei arzo susim ve'en ketzel markvotav, their land was filled with horses with no end to their chariots. Batimalei arzo elilim lemasei yadav yishtachavu la'asher asu etzbotav, the land was filled with idols without to the work of their hands they bowed down. What is the message of these three phrases, these three sentences?
They went far away from Hashem.
No. Well, yes, but that's
too general.
This is the key. These three phrases tell this key story to what Yeshayahu's message is.
Well, you have again Susim,
Kesef,
Zahav. Batimalei arzo
susim. Batimalei arzo elilim.
Arzo elilim. One of those few places where you have parshanut.
One of those few places where you have parshanut of Chumash in the Nevuot of Nevi'im Achronim. Because in the Chumash, what are the three limitations on a king?
Not too much money.
Horses.
Layabelahem. Layabela susim.
And
layabela nashim.
Nashim.
Right. Well, but finish the phrase. Layabela nashim.
Because they're going to cause you worship.
Layasul
levavo. You'll have elilim.
So the Navi goes straight to the
source.
To the issue. Okay? Batimalei arzo kesef zahav. Batimalei arzo susim. Batimalei arzo elilim. These are the three violations of
kings.
And what he's really describing is the process that led to the I call it the destruction, because the Beit HaMikdash hasn't been destroyed yet, but certainly the near end or the critique of the Malchus. We're talking about the critique of Malchut Yisrael, in this case, unrelated to our discussion, but it happens to be talking about Uzziah and the arrogance of Uzziah. Uzziah was known, was the Nevi'im took Uzziah to task particularly for his arrogance. One of the things that brought Uzziah down was, he was a very powerful king and a very successful king, and what ultimately brought him down was a trip he took into the Beit HaMikdash itself. The kings are not allowed to enter into the Beit HaMikdash. The kings have their own palace. The Beit HaMikdash is the domain of the palace of God. When Uzziah crosses that line and he goes into the Beit HaMikdash to bring the Korban Tamid as if he was the Kohen, to violate the boundary between the palace and the kingship and the Mikdash, he's smitten with leprosy, and that's the end of his kingdom. That story is all told in Sefer Devarim. That's essentially what, it's that arrogance of Uzziah that Yeshayahu is directing his message against.
I thought he was one of the good kings.
Was he out until the end?
Until the leprosy.
Until the arrogance took over.
Because he got rid of all his idols.
Until the arrogance took over. No. That's Chizkiyahu.
Chizkiyahu
is also guilty of arrogance, but that's a separate conversation. Right? This is his anti-Malchus polemic. This is a Malchut Yisrael. You see what it's done? It's filled the land with Kesef and Zahav, with Susim, with Elilim, even Uzziah's context. And therefore, in response, says Yeshayahu, Vayishach Adam, Vayishpal Ish. Pasuk Tet. Vayishach Adam, man, is bowed down. Vayishpal ish, man is brought low. Ve'alti salehem, do not forgive them. Bo batzur, vitamen be'afar, enter the rock, hide in the dust. Mipnei pachad Hashem u'mehadar go'ono, from the fear of God and from the majesty of His greatness.
Hine gavhut adam shafel, the loftiness of man, the arrogance of man, shall be humbled. V'shach rum anashim, the haughtiness shall be lowered. And in response or in alternative to the arrogance and the haughtiness of the kings who fill their lands with horses, gold, and idolatry, what shall emerge? Minizgav Hashem Livado Vayamahu. On that day, God shall emerge alone. Kiyom Lahashem Tzvaot Al Kol Ge'e V'ram Ve'al Kol Nisa V'Shafel. The day of God of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, who shall be brought low. That's a direct reference to the kings, to the malachim. The arrogance here is a reference to the kings. And the metaphor for the kings is typically that of a tree. We're going to see that eventually, if not this week, next week, in the Nevuah of Bilam. The tree is always a metaphor for the kings of Israel, the Arzeh HaLevanon. Ve'al kol arzeh ha-Levanon aramim v'nisaim, and all of the cedars of Lebanon, high and mighty. Do you remember Shoftim? Do you remember the mashal of Yatom after the story of Avimelech? We talked about the bramble, and they went after the cedars, and they went after the different kings, and the different trees, and they said, Mashal banu, rule over us, and then they went to the bramble, and the famous mashal of Yatom. Trees are typically a metaphor for kings. Al kol arzeh ha-Levanon aramim v'anisaim, v'al kol alunei ha-Bashan, and all of the oaks of the Bashan. V'al kol migdal gavo, and upon all mighty towers. V'al kol choma b'tzura, and upon every high fortress. V'al kol aniot tarshish, and against all of the ships of Tarshish. V'al kol schiot ha-chemda, and all the delightful craftsmen. And against all of this, v'shach gavhut adam v'shafel rum anashim, loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness shall be made low, and without the kings, or the, if you bring the kings down, you take out the arrogance of human kings, then who emerges as their leader? V'nisgav Hashem levado b'yom mahu, God reigns alone. V'ha'elilim kalul yachlof, and therefore the idols shall be destroyed. Uval b'ma'arot tzurim, they shall go into the holes of the rocks. U'michilot afar, into the caves of the earth. People will just scramble, especially the kings of Israel, will scramble from their haughtiness and their towers and their ships and their power and their places of fortification. They will end up cowering down and going to hide in the caves. Mipnei pachad Hashem, ומהדר גאונו, glory of God's majesty, בקומו לארץ הארץ, when he will come to לארץ הארץ, to shake the earth.
Terrible.
Right, to shake the earth terribly, לארץ הארץ. But לארץ is also an interesting word, because ארץ means to shake, but also is another word for ruling, for leading. Arutz a channel. Uh-huh. It's a different.
Isn't that with an olive? Like Arutz Sheva?
No, it's an eye. I think it's an eye.
I don't know.
Vayomahu yashlich ha'adam et elilei kaspo ve'et elilei zehavo asher asulo lishtachavot. Achpor perot v'la'adlat haleifim. At that time, man shall take his idols of silver and gold, and he shall cast them to the animals, to the bats and the moles. Because of the fear of God and the glory of His Majesty, when He comes, arises to shake the earth. Cease from man, meaning loyalty to man, through his breath, though his breath be in his nostrils. Ki b'men nechshavu, for what is man that he should be accounted of? Ki ineha adon Hashem tzvaot meisir miYerushalayim umiYehuda mashenu mashena kol mishalechem v'chol mishanmayim. It's God of hosts. It's God who removes from Yerushalayim and from Yehuda every staff. It's also an interesting double entendre, because a staff, a mishan or mashenet, is what you rest on, but it's also a symbol of leadership, staff. Kol mishan lechem v'chol mishan mayim. Gibor v'ish mechama. God will remove all of the men of war and of judges, shofet, v'navi, v'kosem, v'zaken, and prophets, and diviners, and elders, sarar chamishim, v'nasu panim, the captors of 50, and honorable men, v'yoetz, v'chacham, chavashim, v'navon lachash, and counselors, and cunning artificers, I don't know what that means, and eloquent orators, all of this will be removed. All of the leaders, all... Excuse me?
Artifice, like somebody
speak?
Is that
yeah.
Artifice?
I may be. Venatati na'arim sarahem. A young lad, a youngster, shall be the prince. Talked about last week the shift from melech to nasi. Venatati na'arim sarahem v'ta'alulim yimishilubam. Babies shall rule over them. I'll let the children rule over them. But men, adults, arrogant, haughty, mighty, v'nisgav Hashem levado b'yombo. I'll stop here for a minute. The basic message of Yeshayahu in this parak, now you have to put the two pieces together. You have to put the first part of the nevuah about Yerushalayim and the nations of the world and the peace of the world and the second part of the nevuah together. So, what's the message?
But God will redeem the world, but first he's got to deal with Israel, and they're going to be laid low.
Hey, God will redeem the world, first you've got to deal with Israel, they will be laid low. Let's put the two messages together. What is it about the world that needs to be redeemed?
Man's haughtiness.
Man's haughtiness. If they're coming to Yerushalayim to learn from God, to learn from the Torah, Kimitzian Teitzot Torah, what's the message they're going to come away with in the eyes of the Navi?
Got to get rid of the king.
But that's the second part. But what's the first? What's the message the nations of the world are going to come away with? There's two parts to this nevuah. There's the implication for the nations of the world, and then there's the implication for Israel. So the implication for the nations of the world, they're going to come to Yerushalayim, they're going to see Kimitzion Teitzot Torah, but they're going to judge between nations, they're going to hear the words of rebuke, and the result will be? V'chitetu charvotam le'itim v'chanitotehem le'mazmerot le'isagoya go'echerev lo'imadu ad melchama. The result will be end of war, because they're going to take the message they're going to receive is that they're going to take all of their tools of war and turn them into tools of peace. Meaning that what brings about war in the eyes of the Navi, what brings about war, wars are fought between certainly days of the Nevi'im. Right? Today's context, we could probably offer a different argument. But in the days of Tanakh, up until the 21st century, wars are always fought between
kings,
nations, powers. So if you remove powers in the world, if you remove nations from the world, if you remove the arrogance of kings, then the result will be
peace.
Right? That people have no basis for war. They will have all of these guns and spears sitting there doing nothing. They'll turn them into tools of peace. Lo yu'madu ad melchama. Turning that attention now to the nevuah, to Bnei Yisrael, and the message for Klal Yisrael, Beit Yaakov, they'll also come up to Har Hashem, but there the message is, go and look at what had been the practice of the kings of Israel, filling the land with horses and chariots and gold and silver and idolatry and political alliances and power, and in order to achieve this great vision, what do you have to do to all of that? You have to bring it low. You have to destroy it all. Because the core root of all evil is the arrogance of the kings of Israel. That's the message of Yeshayahu. At least in this nevuah. And he's directing this message very specifically at a particular king. In this case, it's Uzziah. And the context of Uzziah's arrogance, which was so devastating that it ultimately led to an earthquake that almost destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. That earthquake is made reference to in a number of places. It's called the Ra'ash, the great noise on Har HaBayit. What I want to do is take the same, is take a just quick glance at a different Navi. So we're going to flip the pages and jump to Sefer Micha. Well, I'll get to a parak in a minute, but first I need to give you a little bit of introduction to Micha. So Micha is in Treyasar. Page what?
698.
Right. So it's just after Yonah. Structure of Treyasar is interesting to itself. We're not going to get into that now. But Micha is lives at a time. Let's look at the first pasuk. Devar Hashem asher haya al Micha marashti. When does Micha live?
Contemporary of
Yishayahu. Although there's one king missing, Uzziah. Micha is a younger contemporary of Yishayahu. He starts a little bit later than Yishayahu. He starts at somewhat a different time. And Asher Chaza al Shomron v'Yushalayim, who Nevuah was first. Excuse me?
In the north.
He certainly starts in the north, primarily in the north, and that's not really so important for us per se. But you do get a sense, right? Yishayahu is Asher Chaza al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, and here Micha al Shomron v'Yerushalayim. So you certainly get a sense that he's a younger contemporary of Yishayahu, but is also a little bit more north in his geographic focus. Okay, now shift to Perek Dalet. I'm going to read a couple of psukim without translating, and you will understand why momentarily. Perek Dalet, from the beginning. You have it? Vaya b'acharit hayamim yehar beit Hashem nachon b'rosh harim. ונישאו מגבעות ונראו עליו עמים. והלכו גויים רבים ויאמרו, לכו ונעלה על הר השם ועל בית אלוקי יעקב. ויראינו מדרכיו ונלכה באורחותיו, כי מציון תצא תורה ודבר השם מירושלים. ושפט בין עמים רבים, ויוכיח לגויים עצומים עד רחוק, וחיטטו חרבותיהם לעתים וחניתותיהם למזמירות, לא יישאו גוי על גוי חרב, ולא ימדון עוד מלחמה. Sound familiar?
Yes.
A little plagiarism here.
Okay. Now we call this is classic. This is classic, right? It's not plagiarism. What is it?
Quoting his teacher?
It's a quote. Remember that Micha is a younger contemporary of Yishayahu. So Yishayahu's message contains this very famous nevuah. Micha starts Perek Dalet with almost the exact same words.
It's only plagiarism because he doesn't attribute it to Yishayahu.
Well, okay. But I think at this point they all knew. A good deal of discussion and focus of the frame of the in the field of biblical scholarship, biblical criticism, biblical scholarship, depending on what vantage point you take, is to look at parallels and repeated themes in the different Nevi'im, to see, A, who quoted whom, but also to look at the possibility that sometimes they're even quoting earlier texts that were just handed down, and they're taking them into particular directions. So here, whether there's an earlier Nevuah that Yishayahu and Micha are both quoting, or Yishayahu's the author of this formulation and then Micha's borrowing it, what is clear is that everybody knew this formulation. This was a very known quote formulation, even in the time of Yishayahu. Micha takes it and he stops here, and I stopped intentionally at this phrase, lo yisagu goy cherev lo yimadun melchama, because in Yishayahu that's the end of the first paragraph, and that was the message, that there will no longer be war anymore. In Yishayahu's vision, why will there no longer be war anymore? Because what's the message that the world will finally pick up? When you take all the kings, the arrogance of the kings, and you break them and you destroy the world of Malchus, then what you end up with is V'nisgav Hashem Livado Vayamahu. One king, namely God, kingdom of God. Micha goes from here in a slightly different direction. V'yashvu ish tachat gafno, pasuk dalet. V'yashvu ish tachat gafno, v'tachat te'inato. Every man shall sit under his vine, under his fig tree, famous imagery. V'ein macharid, none shall be afraid. Ki pi Hashem tzvaot tiber, God has spoken it. Ki kol ha'amim yalchu ish b'shem Elokav, every nation shall walk in the name of their God. V'anachnu nelech b'shem Hashem Elokeinu le'olam ve'ed. And we will walk in the name of our God for eternity. Bayomahu ne'um Hashem osva hatzolea. On that day I will assemble the one that limps. I will gather Osif, I will gather the one who that limps. V'hanidacha kabetza, I will gather the ones that have been exiled, driven out. V'asher harayoti, the ones whom I have afflicted. V'samti et atzoleya l'sherit, v'hanla'a l'goy atzum. I will make the one that limped a remnant, and the one that was cast off shall become
great nation.
Goy atzum, a strong nation. Umalach Hashem alehem behar Tzion miatavi adolam. God shall reign over them in Yerushalayim and Har Tzion from then thenceforward. Look what comes next. Ve'ata migdal eder, you, tower of the flock, migdal eder. What's a migdal?
Tower.
A tower. Now a migdal represents what?
Strength,
military strength. Moreover, when did you build a migdal? If you built a wall around the city for your defenses, the migdal was your tower, as either your lookout, but it was also the seat for your king, for your leader. And the tower of Bava was built. One of the reasons why the migdal Bava was so offensive was because it was to hover over all of humankind. But who was sitting at the top of migdal Bava? The king, and the king above all in Sefer Bereishit was Nimrod. Put a context to that moment. V'atam migdal bava, sorry, migdal eder, ofel bat Zion, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Edecha te, shall to you shall it come. What shall come? Uva'a ha'memshala ha'rishana mamlechet lebat Yerushalayim. Kingdom, dominion, the kingdom of Yerushalayim. Ata, lama tari rea, why do you cry out loud? Hamelech enbach, is there no king amongst you? Im yu'atzechavad, have your counselors perished? Ki hechazika chil kayoleda? Have you been seized by the travails of birth pains? Chuli, gochi bat tzion, kayoleda. Ki ata tetzi mikirya, you will go forth out of the city, v'shachant basadeh, uvat ad bavel, sham tinatzeli, sham yigalech Hashem mikaf oivayech, you will go into the fields, you will go into exile, you will go to Bavel, there you shall be saved, there you shall be rescued by God. All of these great nations will float, will flock to you, they will come to you. Let us look at Tzion. Let us look at, let her be defiled. They're going to come to you in war. They're going to come to you in destruction. They're going to come to try to destroy you. They don't know the thoughts of God. They don't understand God's ways. Ki kiptzam ki amir gorna, for He will gather them like the threshing, like the sheaves of to the threshing floor. He will gather all of these nations that are coming to Yerushalayim. In Yeshayahu's vision, they're coming to Yerushalayim to learn how to put down their weapons of war and to eliminate the structures of leadership and power. In Micha's vision, what are they coming to do? They're coming to destroy Yerushalayim. And God is bringing them to Yerushalayim in order for them to fall into the trap. And therefore, he says to Yerushalayim, Kumi, arise. Vadoshi bat Tzion, thresh, daughter of Tzion. Thresh whom? Who's on the threshing floor that you're going to thresh?
The enemies of Israel.
Ki karnech asim barzel, I will make your horn like iron. Ufar sotayech asim nechusha, and I will make your hoofs like brass. Vadikot amim rabim, you shall beat into pieces many peoples. Vacharamti la'ashem bitzam, you shall devote their gain to God. V'chelam ladon kol aretz. Ata titkodedi bat gdud matzor sam aleinu. V'shevet yakul alechi et shofet Yisrael. Then he goes on, Parakei, and there's going to be a few more psukim. V'ata bet lechem Efrata, you bet lechem of Efrat, tse'ir liot balfei Yehuda, young are you amongst the cities of Israel. Mimcha li yetze liyot moshel b'Yisrael. From you shall come forth the one who shall be ruler of Israel. Motzatav mikedem yimeolam. Lachen yitnem ad et yoled yalada. The rest of this is less relevant for us. Let's jump to Pasuk Dalet for a moment. He shall rise and see the strength of God. Pasuk Dalet, Vayaze Shalom, Ashur ki yavo be'artzenu. When will there be peace? Ashur will come into our land. V'chi yidroch ba'armanoteinu. He shall tread in our places and our palaces. V'akimonu alav shivaro im u'shmona nesichei adam. We shall rise against him with 7 shepherds and 8 princes. What's a shepherd?
Navi?
No.
Like a Moshe? Or
a shepherd is a melech. Remember Nevuat Haroim of Yechezkel?
Yeah.
Or Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. Right? The Roim are the shepherds, are the kings. Against Ashur, who will dare come into our land, we will rise up with 7 shepherds and 8 princes. V'ra'u et eretz Ashur b'cherev. They shall graze, they shall be shepherds who will lead into the land of Ashur by the sword. V'et eretz nimrod b'ftachea v'itzil mi'ashur ki yavo b'yartzeinu v'chi yidroch b'gvuleinu. V'aya sherit Yaakov b'kerev amim rabim. Now the last 2 psukim. Vav and Zayin. The remnant of Yaakov. Listen to these phrases carefully because we're going to talk about where they come from. The remnant of Yaakov shall be bekerav amim rabim, amongst the many nations of the world, ketal me'et Hashem, like dew from God, kirevivim alei esef, like the shower upon the grass, asher lo yikaveh le'ish v'lo yechel livnei adam, that shall not wait upon any man nor wait for the sons of man. They will be independent, they will be self-sustaining, they will not be dependent upon any other nation. The remnant of Yaakov amongst the nations of the world shall be like a lion amongst the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flock of sheep. Your hand shall be against your enemies, and your enemies shall be cut off. So, if Yeshayahu describes a time when they will all end, when they will dismantle the mechanisms of war, because we will dismantle the mechanisms of power and armies, what does Micha describe?
The last big battle.
Right, the opposite. They will dismantle the mechanisms of war because
there won't be anybody left.
You will defeat them all. because you, O Israel, will become so strong that amongst the nations of the world you will be like the lion and the lion cub. Like the lion in the amongst the beasts of the forest. Right? Remember the old adage, the lion is the king of the forest? Mm-hmm. Right? The lion amongst the... These are imageries of Malchus. These are imageries of king. The lion, the kfir, the young lion, be'edretzon, amongst the flock. Like all of these nevuot, they're intended for a particular period of time, whether they happen in part or in total, but they move forward as history moves forward. But the irony here and the power of it is that I have two nevi'im virtually at the same time speaking two messages that are almost contradictory. Because they're focused on different things. But they both start with the exact same words. There's no better example of two contrasting messages of the Nevi'im representing two very different attitudes towards the institution of Malchus in Israel. And the bottom line of it is that it's not the Melech that's the problem. It's what you do with it. And it's the message that the Nevi'im are trying to convey. So here you have it. You have Yeshayahu on the one hand and Micha on the other. If you had to ask the question, were the Nevi'im, in general, opposed to Malchus or in favor of it? Were they opposed to military power or were they in favor of it? Were they opposed to Israel's strength and independence or were they opposed to it? What's the answer?
Depends.
It depends which Nevi and when. And who they were speaking to and what their message was. That's the ambivalence. That's the duality of the message. Is that clear? This is really, I don't know if you appreciate, if I did justice to the power of it, but these two nevuot side by side, in fact, what I did here, and I had meant to hand this out, what I did here was I actually laid the two nevuot out side by side. I'm not going to reread them, so you're welcome to take them if you want. But the... When you see them side by side, you see the contrast of these of Yeshayahu and Micha and the message, both with the same starting point. There's going to come a time when the nations of the world are going to end their rule of their reign of power and reign of war. Why? Either because we're going to take all institutions of Malchus and reign and power in the world, including Israel. Beit Yaakov, Lechuben Alchav, Be'or Hashem. And we're going to destroy them because we have to recognize that only God is king. Or Micha, who says to you, Migdal Eder, Ofer Batzion, Tavo Memshala Rishana, you will restore yourself to Malchus, to Memshala, to authority, to power.
Why do we always hear them about the first one?
Oh, so even the lion that'll lay down with the lamb, the Gerza Evan Keves, that Nevuah of Yeshayahu, which is in Parak Yud Aleph, that's in striking contrast to Micha's vision, where what's the relationship between the flock and the lion?
The lion's in charge.
The lion's the ro'eh. The lion's in charge, and that flock better stand in line very carefully, because you put a flock of sheep under the charge of a lion, and
they're gone.
Right? And you got two very different images, two very different messages. Now it's true, Yeshayahu, they were talking to different audiences, and their message needed to convey a different, needed to resonate with a different piece. Okay, the tochacha in each case is different.
The Christians definitely adopted the Isaiah imagery.
I don't think it's only Christians. Unfortunately, I think it's a function of mazel. Meaning, we are very familiar with parts of Tanakh that are read as haftorahs. Because most of us never read Navi as Navi. Most of us never get to Navi Machonim except for that which we hear in Shul and Shabbos as a nevuah, as a haftorah. And so Yishayahu Perek Bet is a haftorah. The at least part of it is. Micha Perek Dalet is not. Well, at least.
Micha was walking humbly with Hashem, no?
Yes. Yeah, that's the end of Micha. Yeah, so parts of it. And that's unfortunately, that is very. I don't have any really answer for it. But it's Yishayahu was more famous than Micha. Was that fair? No. Is that legitimate? No. Is that just the way it is? So
I guess too, it's like the world wants to think it's going to be peace or something. Like you're going to beat your.
Yeah, there's probably some influence of the pacifists amongst humanity that sort of adopted the vision of Yishayahu more readily than the vision of Micha. From a Tanakh perspective, what you see, look, even the nevuah of Yishayahu about Yemot HaMashiach or Melech HaMashiach, which is Perek Yud Aleph, Yishayahu Perek Yud Aleph is exactly that nevuah, famous nevuah of David HaMelech, HaMelech HaMashiach, V'yatza choter migezer Yishai v'netzer mishoreshav Yifreh, that a shoot shall come forth from Yishai, a branch that will come from his roots, that will be a descendant from the genealogical tree of Yishai of David HaMelech, V'nacha alav ruach Hashem ruach chochmah, Uvina, ruach etza, ugvura, ruach dat, virat Hashem. Spirit of God shall be upon him, spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge of God, fear of God. Veherichu yibirat Hashem. Velo lemareh einav yishpot. He will not judge based only on the sight of his eyes, but rather with his wisdom. Velo lemishma oznav yochiach. He shall not give tochacha or admonition based on only what he hears, but rather v'shefat betzedek dalim, he shall be righteous, he shall judge the poor with righteousness, v'ochiach b'mishola and v'aretz, decide with equity those who are weak, v'ka eretz b'shevet piv, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, meaning with the justice, the wisdom, the insights, that will conquer the world, not power, not might, not swords, not chariots. Uvaruach svatav yamit rasha. He will slay the wicked not with the sword, but with the spirit of the breath of his lips. Vayat sedek ezomotnav. Righteousness shall be he will gird instead of a sword. Vahe emuna ezor chalatzav. And he shall gird his reins with faith, trust. All of these are anti-war imagery. Vagar ze'evim keves v'namedim g'dir bats. The lion, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard with the kid. Ve'egel ukfir umeri yachdav, the calf, the young lion, and the fatling all together. V'nar katon yinhagbam, no hegbam, and a small child shall lead them. That goes back to what Yishayahu said in Perek Bet, which is who will be the leaders? A small child. In contrast to the arrogance of the kings. Ufarav, dov, tir enayish, the cow and the bear shall feed together. Tir enay yachdav yiripetsun yaldehen. Va'arye kabakar yochal tevin, and a lion shall eat straw, like the ox. The ox is vegetarian. No, the ox is vegetarian. Right? The ox eats straw, because all kosher animals are vegetarian. There are no kosher carnivores.
Except Jews.
Yeah. That's the whole theory to the four-part stomach is, and the split hoof is because they eat grass. Right? These are all animals that need to graze grass, and they need to climb the mountains in order to get to the grazing fields, which is why typically your animals that have four-part stomachs also have split hooves, because that's what animals that are herbivores do. Pasuk Tet, v'le'yariu v'le'yashkitu b'har kodshi ki mala aretz le'at Hashem kamayim le'yam mechasim. There shall be no destruction or hurt on all of my holy mountain, because the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the sea. Again, it's the same imagery that he had back in Perek Bet. Bayom ahu shorash Yishai asher omed l'nes amim elav goyim yidroshu. How are the nations of the world going to learn this message? They're going to come to this Shorash Yishai, to this shoot of Yishai, to this descendant of David, and they're going to gather like a banner all the peoples. And the nations shall, and his resting place shall be glorious. The people shall respect him. They shall learn from him. And on that day, and then he begins to describe the ingathering of the exiles a second time. But this is why Yeshayahu's vision is so famous. These are the famous nevuot of Yimot HaMashiach, of David HaMelech, of Yimelech HaMashiach, of Nar Katon Hagbam. David, when he first became king, was a young boy. That's the image. We're going to go back to that image. Not the David who is a man of war, but the David who is, right, sort of a mixture of David and Shlomo, if you picked up the imagery. Right, you have a descendant of David, but he's known for the wisdom that was the legacy of Shlomo. Not the wars of David, but the wisdom of Shlomo together with the righteousness and the Yirat Hashem of David. A perfect combination to bring about world peace. That's Yeshayahu's vision. Micha had a different perspective. Completely different perspective, because he was, A, might have been talking to a different audience, but also there were different Nevi'im. And, you know, it's interesting. How do you have a machlok at Nevi'im? How do you have a machlok at Nevi'im? I have here essentially two Nevi'im, two different visions for what the future holds. Contrasting visions. Sounds like there's a machloket. Right? There's this difference of opinion. How do you have a difference of opinion between two Nevi'im when a Navi, by definition, speaks in the name of God?
Giving him different messages.
Right? Here you have two very different messages. And the answer comes back to the fact that both messages are essentially correct. Both messages have a place or a role in the context of the vision of what the Torah wants from Israel. Both the message that says we want a melech, and we're going to have power and esteem, and the kingdom of Israel will represent God's kingdom in the world, and the name of God in the world, and how people will relate to God will be seen through how they relate to Israel. From both perspectives, their humility and loyalty to God on the one hand, and their power and significance and status as God's people in the world on the other. And they're both true. They may be contradictory, but that's the ambivalence. That's what we come back to Sefer Shmuel, where we talk about, on the one hand, the people say, we want a king like all the nations, so that we can be this Memshela Rishana that Micha describes, and God says, oh, but they really want it for different reasons, for the wrong reasons, and therefore they're really committing a terrible sin. Yeshayahu's version. That's the ambivalence. Questions? Comment? Observation? It's our first segue into the world of Nevi'im Achronim. Where we go from here? We're going to adjourn momentarily, but where we go from here is one more piece that we really need to sort out. How these two contrasting visions of leadership of Israel emerge both within the context of Jewish law and Torah. The Nasi on the one hand, which is not a melech, it doesn't have that arrogance on the one hand, the Malach on the other, are both articulated in the Torah. The transition, if you will, the piece that connects them, the piece that kind of brings the two together, I believe, lies in the story of all places, the Nevuah of Bilam. How he gets in the Nevuah of Bilam is our next assignment. So what we are going to do, Bezat Hashem, in the one last class before we start Perek Tet, which will be Bezat Hashem next week, is to explore the Nevuah of Bilam. And how we get from the Nasi to the Melech, and that should be able to put us back together with enough of the variables to then continue into, having seen all of the ambivalence both sides, you know, to return to Sefer Shmuel, to Perek Tet, and to look at the flip side of the story of the request for a king. Okay? That make sense?